Silence awkward enough yet?
Yeah.
That was about 15 seconds. It's amazing how little tolerance we have for silence in our lives, don't we? Absolutely amazing. We're going to be talking about that today, that need for silence, really expanding on the idea of prayer. We begin with our scripture from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 22, where the Apostle Paul writes these words: "We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now. And it's not only the creation, for we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first crop of the harvest also groan inside as we wait to be adopted and for our bodies to be set free. We were saved in hope, and if we see what we hope for, that is in hope. Who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help us in our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit itself pleads our case with unexpressed groans," or some translations say with sighs too deep for words. "So the one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks, because it pleads for the saints consistent with God's will." It's the word of God for the people of God. And so some felt uncomfortable even for just that 15 seconds of silence. And yet the truth is that God speaks to us in the silence if we allow it. And the Spirit prays for us even when we are silent, with sighs too deep for words. The problem sometimes in our spiritual lives is we don't allow ourselves to get to that place that is too deep for words, because we are wordy people. We talk about prayer, and the most common definition that we would all give for prayer is talking to God, right? Talking to God. We like to talk. We have a lot to say. At least we think we do. In the social media world, I've heard it said that there are more people now saying more things than ever to fewer and fewer people who actually listen. We're good at talking, but nobody's actually hearing. Nobody's actually listening. I remember being in a car one time with a distant friend of family, and she was one of those people that just could not stand silence at all. It was a long drive. We were up in Boone area, driving through the mountains, and at one point, we're just kind of listening, but kind of zoning in and out of the conversation. You know how that goes, right? You've heard those people. You're trying to pay attention, but at some point, it just all blurs together. And Mackenzie and I kind of looked at each other, and we started counting. Like when it would get silent, we started counting to see how long before this person would speak. We never got past two. For 3 hours, we never got past two. And we all know those kinds of people. We have a phrase for those kinds of people that we use in the South. Now, I'm not from the South, I admit. This is a phrase that I have learned since I've been here. When you're on the phone with somebody and they just keep talking and they keep talking and they keep talking, and we have this phrase that goes something like, "Well, let me let you go." You're the one that needs to leave, right? Not me. I'm not cutting you off, but let me let you go. We discovered the other night, however, that, you know, when you're talking to some people, that works pretty well. But when you're talking to Southern, good old-fashioned Southerners who really understand that phrase, they know what you're getting at, and so they have a response. "No, I don't need to go anywhere. It's just fine." Somebody did that to us the other night, actually, at 9 o'clock at night. But the point is that we like to talk. Listening is a little harder. And silence in particular is one of those things that makes us very, very uncomfortable. There's a room, a lab in Minnesota. It's been called the quietest place on earth. It It's a soundproof room. I can't pronounce it exactly. Anechoic chamber or something like that. Some of you science people might correct me on that pronunciation. And this chamber is set up such that it can diminish over 98% of the sound. When you're in that chamber, it's said that you hear not only your breathing, but your heartbeat, your blood flowing. I mean, you hear your internal sounds as if you're hearing them through a doctor's stethoscope, because there's just nothing else. And nobody has been able to stay in that chamber for more than 45 minutes without having serious hallucinations. There's something physical, a response in the human body that says no, that rejects silence, that makes us so uncomfortable. Now, none of us have ever experienced that level of silence in a chamber like that. But we've all been in places where people feel the need to break the silence, right? We've all been in meetings and or in Bible studies or Sunday school classes or classes at school or different places, and you're trying to take a minute to think, and somebody's got to jump in. And if nobody ever does, it might be you that actually is the one that jumps in and breaks the silence. There's somebody that always has to talk, that has to fill that silence. And so the question is, why does silence make us so uncomfortable? And I think in part it's because that when the external noise fades, all of our thoughts and the stuff inside of us, the things we try not to think about, become very, very loud. And we don't want to deal with that. We desperately want to be able to shut off our minds, but we can't, because all of those thoughts come rushing into the silence. That's why some people need white noise machines and stuff to go to sleep, because in the silence, our brains just keep running and rushing, and we can't shut it off. It's so loud. One spiritual director that I know in Davidson talks about it as a jackhammer, that when we're silent, when we come to prayer in silence before God, what happens is all those thoughts, all that stuff that we've not really considered, even things that we haven't thought about maybe in years, stuff just starts flying to the surface as if it's a jackhammer pounding into the concrete deep inside of our souls and our hearts and our minds and shattering all that stuff, and our thoughts are just flying like the concrete. And we're just trying to catch one and hold on to it, because we can't take all of these thoughts, all of this noise that's inside of us. And we don't know how to process it. We want to duck away from it. We want external noise so we don't have to think about it or deal with it. And so it would be very easy to say, well, if that's the case, if there's something, this physical reaction in us that says we can't deal with silence, we can't tolerate it, we can't process all those thoughts and all that internal noise, all those emotions, all that stuff that keeps coming into the surface, then why bother with silence? Why not just keep talking? God listens, right? We've always got a listening ear. We can just keep talking. But relationships where people just keep talking and talking and talking don't work too well. There's a story of a man who goes for spiritual direction, and he finds a monk and he's seeking wisdom. And the monk offers him a cup of hot tea. And the man starts talking and sharing his problems and why he came, and he's just rambling and rambling. And the monk comes and he starts pouring the tea, and he's pouring and pouring, and the man is just talking and rambling. And finally, after a while, the tea just starts to overflow from the cup. It's just pouring out all over the table. And the man just keeps talking. And he's talking and talking and spouting out all his problems, much like we might do before God, spouting out all of our needs and our concerns and our problems. And he doesn't even notice the tea pouring all over the table until finally it starts pouring off the table, and he feels the heat of the liquid hitting his leg, and he jumps back. And he looks at the monk, "What are you doing? Didn't you notice? How can you not notice that the tea is overflowing?" And the monk replied, "This cup is like your mind. It can't take anything new because it's already so full." You see, that's the problem when we neglect silence in our lives. Our minds and our hearts become so full, and we can't take in anything new. We can't hear a word from God because we're too busy trying to sort out all the words that we already have and know. When we're just talking in prayer, if we're not careful, we become like those people that Jesus talks about in Matthew 6 when he says they're just heaping up empty phrases. That's not talking about, you know, whether a prayer is written or not, things like that. People have used that to say, oh, you can't use pre-written prayers because that's just empty phrases. No, it's not that. It's that it becomes empty when it just becomes that barrage of talking with nothing to be able to respond. We can't receive anything because our hearts and our minds are too full of ourselves. And so long as we're talking, our goal is to stay in control of the conversation. That's a comfortable place, but it's not a healthy spiritual place. Because you see, the whole point of prayer is that we are not in control. The whole point of prayer is to surrender ourselves to God, to come empty before God. We come with empty hands and with empty heart, having no agenda. Half the time, we don't even really know what we need. We might think we know, and we spout off a bunch of words, but we don't always know. That's why Paul says that the Spirit prays for us with groans and sighs too deep for the words, because God knows better what we really need than we do. We are not called to be in control of the conversation. We are called to come and bring ourselves empty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Emptiness is necessary in order to receive. Now, there are other forms of prayer too. It's not all silence, and certainly talking and doing the kind of prayer, the intercession and speaking people's names, and all of that is part of prayer as well. That's all important. We're not saying it's not. But we're focusing here on some elements of prayer that we often neglect, some places where we need to be still and to know that God is God. Because you see, it's in that stillness that we have to deal with ourselves, that we have to deal with all of our inner distractions. And we have to learn to surrender those things. We start realizing that we can't control all those thoughts that are flying up like the concrete from the jackhammer. We can't. And we're not meant to. We're given the invitation from God to come before Him and rest, to simply receive what He has for us. And so before we go on to one last piece of prayer, we want to take a few moments and actually practice what we're talking about here. I'm part of a group right now, several groups actually, that regularly practice silent prayer in community. On average, about 20 minutes. So I hope you got your time. You can sit about 20 minutes here, silent. That work? No? Nobody? All right. How about two? We'll narrow it down. And for some, the 2 minutes is going to feel like an eternity. And for others, you may realize, wow, this is so peaceful. I haven't had 2 minutes of quiet in I don't know how long. But regardless of how you receive the time, take just 2 minutes in prayer. And this is not the kind of prayer that is like, okay, take 2 minutes to share all of your requests and concerns with God. This is the kind of prayer in the relationship with God, you know, when you get to that point in a relationship where you just get the couple that sits on the porch in the rocking chair and they don't have to say a word. They're just present with each other. The love is what fills the silence. It's not a replacement for bringing our requests to God. It's not even actively listening for a specific word. We're not going to God saying, hey, I need to know how to solve this problem, God. Let me listen for 2 minutes and hear. It's not even that. It's just being still and knowing that God is there, like a child curled up in a parent's lap that's just at peace. It's about learning to release. And so what I invite us to do in that 2 minutes is as thoughts come to your mind, they're going to. Maybe a million will come to mind, but the key is just being able to take that deep breath every time the thought comes and come back to that intention, saying, God, I'm just taking this time for you. I've got nothing else to do. I've got nothing else on my schedule. I've got nothing else on my agenda. I've got nothing that's more important right now than being present with you. And so we just come back to our breath. Come back to just the simple Jesus. You know, whatever we need, just some kind of centering piece to come back to. Before we do this, I'll share. When I was in Monroe, I was doing some spiritual guidance with someone, and she had asked me to come by because she just had a lot on her heart that she needed to pray about and sort out. And she started talking, and she was talking about a friend and some bad situations that friend was involved in. And in my mind, I'm kind of in advice mode. Like, okay, she's wanting advice. She's wanting spiritual guidance. She's wanting to know what God says about this kind of stuff. Okay. So as she's talking about this story, I'm thinking about scriptures. I'm thinking about, you know, we're always bad about that, right? Even when we're listening, we're also listening to that stuff inside, trying to figure out how we're going to respond. And so I admit I'm just as bad about that as anybody else. And so all these scriptures kept coming to mind, things that I could say in response. And then I'd get to that point where I thought she was done and I'd be ready to respond. And then she'd be off on another topic. And same thing happened again and again and again and again. And like 6, 7, 8 topics later, and all of a sudden this conversation in the room for like an hour and a half was like that jackhammer, and all of her thoughts were just flying out, and it was so many different problems that she was dealing with in her life. And I realized at some point in that conversation, I'm like, there's nothing that I can say that is going to offer advice that can help her deal with this many problems, with this many issues. I mean, it's like in her own personal life was like what the entire world has gone through in 2020. I mean, it's just too much. We can't process it. And so finally, the Spirit brought the right scripture to mind. And when she finally stopped, after about an hour and a half, I said, you know, there's so many problems, it feels like you're just swirling in the middle of a storm. And there's no way you can deal with all of them. But I invited her to close her eyes. And I invited her to remember that familiar passage where Jesus is on the boat with his disciples. And I didn't tell Maria that I was going to use this scripture, but it's fitting that the Spirit led to these songs, Peace Be Still, because those are Jesus' very words in this text as he looks out at the storm around the boat and simply says, Peace be still. And I invited her to just sit silent for a moment and to take that in, to imagine herself in that boat, to imagine the storm, that whenever those thoughts popped up in her mind, to just recognize that's the wind and the waves around you that are keeping you from being present with Jesus. And as all those things pop up to the surface, hear Jesus' words, Peace, be still. And the funny thing is, about 5 minutes later, she thanked me and said she had never felt more free. Because she finally realized that all those things that she wanted to solve were not really the problem. The problem was that she didn't know how to hold on to herself and her connection with God in the midst of all of that stuff. Because you know what? All that stuff's not going away. We walk out these doors, it's still going to be there. The financial stresses, the health concerns, the loved ones dying, the turmoil in our nation, all that stuff is still going to be there. But can we practice a rhythm in our lives of being able to silence ourselves and hear our own breath, the breath that the Holy Spirit breathed into us, and say, hear Jesus saying, Peace. Be still. And so I'm going to invite us to 2 minutes now just to practice that. There'll be a chime at the beginning. It'll end with a chime and then the Lord's Prayer. And then we'll come back and wrap up with one other form of prayer that we can practice and build in this rhythm. But take that time. Whenever the thoughts come to your mind, just receive them as those waves crashing, that stuff that the jackhammer is digging up, and say, you know what? God, I'm not going to deal with that right now. Just breathe. Hear the words, peace, be still. Say, God, it's just me and you right now. I'm just here. Nobody around me, it doesn't matter. Let me just be still and know that you are God. So let's take that 2 minutes of silence in prayer. Wherever you're at, if you're watching at home, take a moment. Just put all the distractions aside. The chime will ring on your video as well. And so you'll know when we're coming back. But let's be still in the Lord for a moment.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So I'm curious, just show of hands or in the chat if you want to say something on Facebook, you're welcome to. But how many found that time to be very long? A couple. How many were surprised at how quickly it went by? Was it as awkward as the 15 seconds in the beginning? No. Because there's intentionality. Because we know that we're not alone in that silent space. Be still and know that I am God. That's the point. Because it's only in our stillness that we can truly know. Because when we're not still, we're in control. And we live our lives as if, you know, we know God's out there, but is he really with us? Is he really breathing us? And when we can hear our own breath, when we can feel God within us, those moments are so crucial. And we don't have nearly enough of them in our lives. It's recommended to practice that kind of silence every day. Maybe you just start with 2 minutes. Maybe you need 5, maybe 10, maybe 20. There are groups that do this together oftentimes that just hold that space for each other. That's wonderful to be a part of. And you can use technology. There's timers on your phone, so you don't have to worry about, oh, how long has it been? That's why I created that video, so we didn't have to worry about any of that. There's actually an app by Contemplative Outreach that you can look up. Just search Contemplative Outreach, and you can find what's called a Centering Prayer app. And it actually goes through. It'll have a prayer that you can start with. A lot of different prayers you can choose from that you can pray before. It'll do the chime. You can set the timer for however long you want. And then it'll chime at the end and have a closing prayer. You can choose from a lot of different prayers. So that's on the phone available. I use that sometimes. But I encourage you to really build this silence in as part of your rhythm. Maybe it's before you read the scripture. Maybe it's just in a time when you're really stressed and things are going on around you and you just need to sit in the car and sit in the parking lot and say, you know what, I'm just going to take 5 minutes right now to breathe, to be still, and know that God is here. One other kind of prayer that I want to talk about briefly, because there's another piece of prayer that we often don't think about, and that is that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Not only does God pray for us in the silence, but God also calls us to pray without ceasing. Now, obviously, with the two kinds of prayer we've talked about so far, that's not easy to do. For prayer that we're talking and speaking, you can't do that forever and all the time. You can't sit down and just ramble out your prayers audibly all the time. You also can't sit in silence all the time. As much as some may love to, we have to make time for silence, but we can't do that all the time. So how do we pray without ceasing? How do we expand this understanding of the presence of God and this being still in God to the rest of our lives? And I would say, friends, that a lot of that is simply breathing. There's an old ancient form of prayer called breath prayer. Some say, oh, it was developed by mystics or monks or, you know, those kind of people, and we don't believe in those kind of people or whatever. That's fine, except for the fact that these kind of prayers are also in Scripture. Long before the monastics developed it into something formal. Prayers like Isaiah 6:8, here I am, Lord. That's a prayer. Prayers like Thomas in John 20, my Lord and my God. Prayers like the father of that demon-possessed boy in Mark 9, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Prayers like the tax collector in Luke 18, Lord, have mercy. Or Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Later monastic movements developed that into what they call the Jesus Prayer. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. These are just simple little phrases that we can breathe in and out whenever we're in our daily lives. Just that moment of returning, just like in the silence, we return to our breath, we return to that voice of God, peace be still. So in our daily lives, as we're going throughout our lives, we return to these short little prayers. Like blind Bartimaeus, Lord, I want to see. The deepest longing of your heart you can put into a sentence like this. Write your own. Shepherd, guide me. Father, hold me. Lord, save me. Jesus, draw me close. Or maybe it's a phrase that you're hearing God speak to you throughout your day. That as you go throughout your day, every once in a while, you just pause and you hear God saying, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Peace. Be still. I am with you. All of these are just little lines from Scripture, little prayers, little promises. But they're the kind of things that we keep in us throughout our days, all the time, in rhythm. I've got a sheet that I received from a spiritual director. There's copies of it in the back. It's called Pray Always. This is not an exhaustive list of kinds of prayers, but these are other ways you can incorporate these kinds of prayers into your daily lives. Maybe if you're praying for another person, to visualize them in the arms of God. Maybe it's to take a walk, to just get out and walk and engage your body and be active, but still in that silence, in that space with God. Maybe it's like we talked about last week with the way we read the Scripture, that we put ourselves into the Scripture, we pray ourselves into the Scripture and ask, what is God speaking to me through this? That's also a form of prayer. So many ways of praying, not just talking. Even if we're praying for someone else, maybe we use a picture of them and imagine them in the throne room of God, that we're bringing them before God. all sorts of ways. For those of you watching online, I'm going to post this sheet on my blog tomorrow, and that'll be shared on the Facebook page as always. And so if you'd like to look at that, if you want a copy on the way out, you're welcome to get that as well. And so what is prayer as we close? Yes, it's talking to God. Yes, it's listening to God. And yes, prayer is even being still and learning to rest in God. And so I believe as we practice these sacred rhythms, as we learn to become more aware of God's presence in our daily lives, God's invitation to you this week is simply that in your silence, we might allow the Spirit to pray for us and with us with sighs too deep for words. And that God is saying to each of us, be still and know that I am God. And so let's close in prayer together. With sighs too deep for words, breathing in and breathing out each request that the Apostle Paul tells us that the Spirit prays for us with those sighs too deep for words. And so through the life-giving breath of God, we're given all we need. Let us breathe deeply as we pray, inhaling the good gifts that God provides and breathing out all of those things that we need to release. And so as we pray now, let us breathe in the strength of God and breathe out our exhaustion. Let us breathe in the freedom that Christ offers. And breathe out all that holds us captive. Let us breathe in a new sense of direction. And breathe out the paths and the habits that we no longer want to use. Let us breathe in hope. And breathe out our self-doubt. Let us breathe in unconditional love. And let us breathe out our distrust and our hatred. Holy Spirit, let us feel the mighty rush of your presence in this place. Blow away our fears and our worries. And as we go throughout our week, help us to breathe in your gifts of new life. Help us to be still. Thank you that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray.